such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Winds of Change. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on this almost summer day. Next week we get summer. Let's begin with the Angelus as it's noon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, the grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son, may be known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. So again, welcome to the show. David Carollo sitting in today, June day, and on the 14th of June, and of course we just came off beautiful celebrations at the at our shrine. I'm the director, of course, the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army. And yesterday we celebrated great events at the Shrine in New Jersey. You're welcome to watch if you can. It was broadcast on EWTN television, but you can watch it on our website. Monsignor Eugene Morris was with us and gave a beautiful day. So go to BlueArmy.com and you can track your way down and actually watch the beautiful homily and the talk that Monsignor gave yesterday. You know, the world and the church today, there are many troubles, and these troubles are rooted in the difficulties, I think, they're found in the most basic unit of society, the family. Civility in the secular world and devotion in the church grows from properly ordered homes. So as the executive director of this apostolate, of the World Apostolate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army, we bring the message of Fatima to the world through many different programs. Working, you know, in the domestic church, of course, is our basic unit, most basic unit. We work to bring about civility. One of the programs that we have and that we work very hard with is the home enthronement program, to bring about the devotion in the homes, to bring people to that civility and bring people to be better citizens, both in the world and in the church. I have a couple of guests with me today that I want to introduce. Barb Ernster is the National Coordinator and Communications Director for our apostolate. Barb has been on the show with me a number of times, of course. And Christian Savinsky, who runs the Home Enthronement Program for the apostolate. So ladies, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi.
Hello. Barb, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Kristen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here as well.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. So anyway, I want to welcome both of you to being on the show here today. And we are, I'm talking about, we worry about the situation in the world, the way things are. And I think that we really need to understand that it all begins at the most basic unit. Of course, Barb, you know, you're working very much with divisions of our apostolate throughout the country. And Kristen, you're working with so many different groups on establishing the home enthronement. I was very honored to be with you in Erie, Pennsylvania, where you're located. That was that 2 years ago now, or is that last year? I don't even recall. Can't remember what it was. And I know
2 years
honored
ago.
To speak.
Yes.
2 years ago. It goes fast, right?
Yeah, it does. Really
and,
fast.
And the bishop was there. We had a beautiful ceremony around the blessing of these statues and that for the Home Enthronement program. So, Barb, I know you work with Kristen regularly. I wonder if you maybe have some questions in that and things you'd like to help her present as to what this program's about and how we could bring it to our listeners today.
Well, I think it's an important time to be talking about this because we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart coming up Friday and then followed by the Feast of the Immaculate Heart. So it's a perfect time for us to recall why these feast days are so important and these devotions. We are working very hard through Kristen's ministry to bring Jesus and Mary into the domestic church, into the home. And so our home enthronement program is centered around prayers and preparation by the family to enthrone the Sacred Heart of Jesus in their home and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Kristen has been working on this for about 15 years now. This program goes back to our apostolate about 50 years. It's been around for a long time. And many people forget about, you know, how important it is to, these devotions are not just one and done. They're something that we need to live out. And so our apostolate is always focusing on trying to help people live out the devotion to the Immaculate Heart as directed at Fatima, live out the devotion to the Sacred Heart, which was given great impetus through St. Mary Margaret Alacoque in the 1600s. But the history of devotion to the Sacred Heart goes all the way back to the early church, when the early Christians honored the heart pierced with a lance that was witnessed at the crucifixion by the Blessed Mother and St. John. And many of them throughout the Middle Ages venerated the five wounds of Jesus. And so Jesus revealed to St. Mary Margaret Alacoque in the 1600s his wounded heart, his heart that also loved the world and that gave everything to mankind to the last drop of his blood shed. And yet, was not returned. The love was not returned. And so it was through these messages to St. Margaret Mary that the church really started to propagate this devotion to the Sacred Heart. And I believe it was in 1856 when Pope Pius the 11th or the 9th actually established the feast day for the Sacred Heart in the church. So it starts to take liturgical form later, but all the popes from St. Margaret Mary's visions that she had, they propagated this devotion, and then it was given liturgical form in 1856. So there's just a lot of history in the church where these devotions have developed over many, many centuries, and they're not something we take lightly. It's something that our Lord wants of us, and it helps remind us every day if we do have the image of Jesus in our home and the image of Mary, how we are to act, how we are to act out in our daily lives as Christians, as followers of them. I'll let Kristen talk more about the program and what she's been able to do with and how she explains it to families. But I, you know, just giving some background that this is a great time to be focusing on this and to think about how we want to bring these devotions into our home.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I do want to jump in with one little point that this weekend, June 16th to the 18th, we have a Triduum of Masses that will be celebrated at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey. And people can sign on to this by going onto our website at BlueArmy.com. The Triduum of Masses, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Blue Army Shrine. And put your intentions, you can go on and become part of this. Yeah. So, Kristen, you can maybe elaborate now on the program a bit.
Okay, thank you, David and Barb, and for introducing that background of the home enthronements. And we're very fortunate to have this program to offer to everybody, to offer families, and not only the basic home unit, but also workplaces and schools. We've had school enthronements. We've had some businesses enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So we want our whole life to envelop that love of Christ and to share that with the world, whether it be with our families and those that we work with. I know churches have been enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Immaculate Heart of Mary. But what I love is our, with the World Apostolate of Fatima, is that before dying, Jacinta actually told Lucia, tell everybody that God grants us graces through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and that people are to ask her for them, and that the Heart of Jesus wants the Immaculate Heart to be venerated at his side. Tell them also to pray to the Immaculate Heart for peace, since God has entrusted it to her. If only I can put into the hearts of all the fire of that burning with my own heart that makes me love the Heart of Jesus and Mary so very much. So Christ himself once had requested his heart be venerated alongside of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and that's why this enthronement program is so very important, is that it does what Jesus requested of us. We are enthroning our homes to the Sacred Heart of Jesus with the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so I do receive phone calls from all over, and I help people get to understand what they are to do in preparation, as well as what the ceremony entails.
Yeah.
Kristen, talk about some of the ceremonies, just in terms of the family is prepared ahead of time, correct? There's a booklet they follow, and then they're praying the rosary, and then just give a little bit of background on how a home enthronement actually plays out.
Sure. All right. So when a family would like to have their home enthroned, so first of all, I think that you have that great love of Christ in your heart and the Blessed Mother, and that calls people to want to have their homes enthroned. So I think Jesus and Mary, they place that upon our hearts and provide that special protection upon our families. So then they search for, home enthronements, and a lot of times I'll get phone calls because that's how they just searched online for a home enthronement program, and they get a hold of me. And so then there are kits that they can purchase in our gift shop, which does include a booklet of prayers in preparation. And in our area, we bring a statue of Mary into the home a week prior, but if they have an image of the Blessed Mother or a statue, they can place and make a little altar and pray the rosary together as a family, that would be wonderful. As well as any spiritual cleansing that they can do, going to Mass on a regular basis, receiving the Eucharist, going to confession, and any other prayers that they would like to do as a family, but really strengthening their spiritual life together. And quite frankly, a lot of the families say, I've never prayed together like this before. So some families are very fervent in their prayers with one another, and then others just kind of help lead them into that prayer life together, which strengthens the family unit. And then after that, a priest would come to the home or a deacon and conduct the ceremony of the enthronement in the home, which takes about approximately an hour in the house. It's a very beautiful ceremony, and a statue of Jesus is then brought to the house, and they have images of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Immaculate Heart of Mary that will be blessed and placed somewhere in honor so everybody can see them in the home after the ceremony is over.
Yeah, very beautiful. I recall, like as I mentioned earlier, being at the event in 2 years ago. And how many statues were blessed that night, and how many priests were there for that program? I don't recall exactly the numbers.
There is 18 priests and 18 lay coordinators. So people that 18 priests committed themselves to promoting the enthronement program in their parishes and their areas in our diocese. And then there's a lay coordinator that works with the priest that helps to do all of the planning and everything with them and comes to the home as well.
Yeah, that's just it was a very edifying event to be at, because it showed the real involvement, and it's wonderful to see that many priests in the diocese and your bishop obviously supporting it, being there and giving a great send-off like that. And because what you're doing is not just in the Erie Diocese, you're doing it nationwide for our apostolate. But yeah. what a beautiful way to have it, you know, have it started right there. Yeah, just
well, it is. Thank you so much, and thank you for coming all that way to be with us that day. It was a very very meaningful day for me as well, and we're hoping that can be emulated in other dioceses, that they can take what we've done and do that in their own areas as well.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. And it just starts with one enthronement. So it starts with one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we have to take a break here now. But Chris, when we come back, I want you to elaborate more on how now others can move on and get involved in this program. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and an 88.5 FM WSFI.
Today is June 14th, Flag Day. We all know the story of Betsy Ross. In 1877, the first Flag Day was celebrated, 100 years after the Continental Congress adopted the flag. In 1949, President Harry Truman officially made Flag Day a day of national observance. We salute Old Glory during this Flag Day here on Winds of Change.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm David Carollo, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And my guests are Kristen Savinsky, who is the director for the Home Enthronement Program here with the World Apostolate of Fatima. And, of course, Barb Ernster, our National Coordinator and Communications Director for the Apostolate. Kristen, when we left off, you were talking about how it starts with one enthronement in your diocese, you know. And I think that's exactly it. It's like our whole movement, Barb, and you say the same, you know, we say with everything we're doing, it starts small and it grows.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's really beautiful. And Kristen, for people I'm sorry, Barb, go on.
I would just cut in, back in the 1990s, my husband and I had moved into our first home, and there was a priest who was going around and doing home enthronements, and we heard about it. And so we got on the list to have him come and enthrone our home, and it was as you described, Kristen, where we invited him in, we had dinner, we had a beautiful ceremony, we invited some friends over, and I don't know, at that time I wasn't involved with the World Apostolate of Fatima, but it might have been through them, and so that was a beautiful thing. It just, word just got around, and we got on the list, and we had our home enthroned.
Yes, that's kind of how it works. It works a lot of times by word of mouth, so as you said, when you have your home enthroned, you invite a guest to join you, a friend or someone that you think may want to partake in that ceremony with you. And a lot of times they get so excited by being there, they want to have their home enthroned as well. So it starts with one. My mom and dad had it done when I was a teenager. And I remember very vividly my mother making some apple pies and lemon meringue. And, you know, we had a priest come to the house, which was a very special occasion. And after that, that made a huge impression upon me. So when I got married and we had our young daughter, Sanibel, I'd asked my husband for my birthday, I'd like to have her home enthroned. And so we did. And that's kind of where it all started for my world, you know, and to share that. And there was a friend there that wanted her home enthroned after I had mine done. It was Sanibel's godmother. And then I saw the couple that actually the national coordinator, Ann and Bob Scher, were at my enthronement. They too were from Erie, Pennsylvania. And when I went to Mass for my dad after he passed away, I saw the coordinators there and I said, my friend who was at my enthronement wants to have her home enthroned. How can she do this? And they said to me, you know, they haven't really had any enthronements lately because Ann and Bob were sick. And this was actually the one that brought the statue of Mary and Jesus to my home that I saw, not Ann and Bob. So I called up Ann and I said, Ann, can I help you? And she laughed and she said, yes. And that happened to be the feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So Jesus and Mary were all a part of my life and how it's going. And they want to be a part of yours and in your everyday life, your ups, your downs, every single part of it, to keep that stability, to keep that peace in your home as well.
Well, and that's one of the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart, that you will establish peace in their houses. And so there are beautiful promises associated with devotion to the Sacred Heart. And I like to remind people, you know, the ancient Hebrew understanding of the heart is the very core of our spiritual being. It's where our moral and ethical life takes fruit. It's where our emotions are housed. It's where our affections happen. And so we're inviting the flame of love of Jesus and Mary into our homes, into our domestic church, into our families, and helping us to letting them be participants in our everyday lives of all members of the family, and enthroning them as the king and the queen over our own family. And so there's promises associated with this, including peace in the house. Can you talk about some of the other promises and maybe some of the things that you have seen after a home has been enthroned?
Yes, I would love to. All right. So the first promise is I'll give them all the graces necessary in their state of life. You know, that promise comes through with no matter what state of life you are at or in, Jesus and Mary are right there holding your hand through it and with you, and will give you whatever you need at that particular point in your life. The second one is I will establish peace in their homes. And in every enthronement that I have ever seen, that has occurred. And so whether there be an estranged child or, you know, there might have been some conflict between parents, that seems to be maybe not totally eliminated, but definitely there's a calmness, there's a peaceness, there's a unity with the home enthronement, especially when the family is committed to renewing that on a regular basis. And then the third one is I'll comfort them in all their afflictions. So no matter what we go through, we have Christ and our Blessed Mother comforting us through it. And I can attest to that with the passing of both my parents. I truly felt the hand of Christ with me through some hard times that we all will go through in our life. The fourth one is I'll be their secure refuge during life and above all in death. The fifth one, I will bestow a large blessing upon all their undertakings. The sixth promise is sinners shall find in my heart the source, an infinite ocean of mercy. The seventh is tepid souls shall grow fervent. And I've definitely seen that. I've seen it to the point where people that have had their home enthroned, had their homes enthroned, want to help with home enthronements. And they start going to daily masses. They start praying three rosaries a day. One was my dance instructor, Sandra Little. She had her studio enthroned and that was like her family, family were her students that went to the dance studio. And she started going to daily mass. She had a complete conversion. So she became very fervent and started praying for every single person that enters the doorway. The eighth promise is fervent souls shall quickly mount to high perfection. The ninth promise is I will bless every place where a picture of my heart shall be set up and honored. The tenth, I will give the priests the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. The 11th, those who shall promote this devotion shall have their names written in my heart, never to be blotted out. The 12th promise, I promise thee in the excessive mercy of my heart that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who communicate on the first Friday in 9 consecutive months the grace of final penitence. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this last moment. And that same Sandra Little, Father Jerry and I were both there when she passed. She received all her sacraments, and she died very peacefully. So I actually saw 12 of those with her through that conversion as she had it fulfilled, just with that one enthronement alone, but I have seen it in others as well. So those are the 12 promises, Barb.
Yeah, and I can attest to some of these myself after we had our home enthroned. And I will say, I want to bring up a point that sometimes a spouse might not be at the same level as the other spouse. So I remember when we had our home enthroned in the 1990s, my husband wasn't as familiar with these devotions, but he went along with them. Yeah. I have seen growth in his faith. I'm not using him as an example, but he just didn't grow up with these devotions like I did. I remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus picture in my grandma's house, and I fell in love with it. So I always had a devotion, but the home enthronement has been there. I mean, Jesus has been there for us during many afflictions and times where, at one point in our family life, really should have destroyed our family, but it didn't. And I felt the hand of God steering us every day through this trauma and what we had to go through. And so he doesn't promise that you won't have sufferings or that everything's always going to be utopia in your family life. No, but he promises to be there to help you persevere through them. And, you know, he's going to give you the strength to get through them and the guidance to get out of them. So that's what the promise is. But we have to remain faithful as well in our own, how we live out these devotions. And so you don't just put a picture up on the wall and everything's hunky-dory.
No.
So no, we have to live it out in our hearts. And that's what Jesus is always trying to get from us, is our hearts.
Yeah. I love that. And yes, and I think that we have to just totally surrender. I learned the surrender novena recently, and I've shared that with many people as well. And Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. And that's kind of what you're doing with the home enthronement. You're just asking our Lord, you're surrendering to his sovereignty and announcing him as King and Lord of your family to take care of everything for you and the Blessed Mother, and to trust, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. I think all this comes together with that home enthronement as well. And I know that the family is under great attack. And so this is something that does provide a special blanket of protection upon you and your family. So I encourage every family to have their home enthroned. And there has been some miraculous things that have occurred, some graces. And one of them, there was an Albion tornado that occurred in our area years ago. And every home that was enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was untouched, while neighboring homes were completely destroyed.
Wow. That is
and
a miracle.
And that there was an article written, I think, in Soul Magazine years ago as well, from Monsignor Carter. It was called More Powerful Than a Tornado. And they had to verify that every single home that was untouched was enthroned, indeed enthroned, and the neighboring homes were enthroned. He said it was almost as if the tornado kind of weaved through those homes. But wow. I've also witnessed conversions. If there's any disturbances in the home, those have gone away through the enthronement. There's lots of different testimonies as well that I have had the pleasure of witnessing over the past 15 years through the enthronement. And everyone is different. And so when a person has it, you never know what graces and what things will occur, but I do know that Christ will be there and the Blessed Mother, and miraculous things will occur for that family.
Yeah. So true, and these testimonies are really what bring people to understand, you know, because this is what the world needs. They need to see the fruits of doing these types of things.
You know, yeah.
It is so beautiful when you go for it. We have to take another break here, and I'd like to continue on that theme when we get back here. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and at 88.5 FM WSFI.
Today is June 14th, Flag Day. We all know the story of Betsy Ross. In 1877, the first Flag Day was celebrated, 100 years after the Continental Congress adopted the flag. In 1949, President Harry Truman officially made Flag Day a day of national observance. We salute Old Glory during this Flag Day here on Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org. to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause, and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back. David Carollo is sitting in today. I wish I had that presence that Fulton Sheen had. That's a beautiful thing. It was quite a thing. Actually, Dr. Peter Howard's been on the show here with me today at one other time, and we discussed that, and I hope that cause does go forward, because Bishop Sheen is such an inspiration to all of us that are in any way into broadcasting. It's really important. Yeah, you know. Just a couple things I wanted to... I'm sorry, go on. Yes.
He was very dynamic, for sure. I love listening to him.
To say the least. Even to this day, when you watch his old shows, they're so inspiring.
Very much. Amazing.
Yeah. But a couple of things I want to point out. We have a program going on, and Barb, you know, I'll have maybe speak to it a little bit later, a little off subject, but we are really promoting the all-night vigils with our Night of Love program through the book Night of Love that we, of course, it was written originally by our founder, John Hafford, and we republished it recently with some updates. And the Chicago Blue Army holds their all-night vigil of reparation every month on the fourth Friday to Saturday, and it's at St. Benedict's Convent at 5900 West 147th Street in Oak Forest. And for more information, call 312-405-6625. So anyway, and as Barb, as you know, we've been working on that program, getting it all over the... Christian, we think that's the next fruit now, after the enthronement. Now we get these people out doing these, and these all-night vigils are just a beautiful thing to have going.
Awesome. I love that.
So
it's another way that we're trying to show our devotion to the Immaculate and Sacred Heart of Jesus on one night, first Friday, first Saturday. But, you know, they're just powerful. You know, there's so many people rejecting the hearts of Jesus and Mary and blaspheming them, and we all know some of the incidences that are going to be taking place on Friday, including at the L.A. Dodgers Stadium, which is very offensive to Catholics. But yet, when we use Friday and Saturday, the Feast of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart, when we use our first Friday, first Saturdays, when we go before our Lord in the Eucharistic adoration, and we bow down before Him and give Him honor that is due Him, and give our hearts to Him, and say to Him, I am so sorry for what is happening out there to you. Let my wounded, you know, let your wounded heart enter into mine, and unite your hearts to Him and give Him that love that He so desires from mankind. We can make up for these things. And we don't know the graces and mercy that's being poured out on some of these people that don't know him yet or don't know Our Lady. And, you know, the grace and mercy flows from that heart, and he wants us united with him. And so, again, to not take these devotions lightly, but to live them and truly give your heart to our Lord. So when we're doing an all-night vigil, and sometimes it's until 1 a.m., we're calling them a night of love, and we have a whole program we're going to be unveiling hopefully next week to help people bring a night of love to their parish. And, Dave, maybe we can do another show on that. But, you know, it's really about trying to build up the Blue Army members and people who want to be part of Jesus and Mary, helping them to live that devoted life everywhere, throughout in their church, in their homes. And I just want to get back to the home enthronement, because Kristen, our priest, actually enthroned our church a couple of years ago to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart, and the Chaste Heart of St. Joseph. And I can see these promises are coming through in our parish. And there, you can really see the growth in the parish and the development of families coming to our parish. There really has been those fruits. So the promises do come true. And so I when we're living it out, the promises are real, and it's something we should all hope and desire for, especially for our families.
For sure. There's tremendous conversion that comes through the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We've known that. I mean, the very first, right at the cross, when Longinus thrust a lance into the side of Christ and the blood and water came on him and converted him. So it's been from the beginning of our faith journey, if you will, this has been it. It's been devotion one way or another to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yes, I agree. And a beautiful thing that happened in my own family with the Sacred Heart, my sister, and my mother and I, we took a photograph, and my sister had been away for a little while, and she came back and was celebrating my mother's birthday with us. And as we took that picture, the flash, she actually noticed it later on when she enlarged it. It was an image of the Sacred Heart. So that actually was captured on our film. But he's there, and he's the light in the darkness in our world, in our families, in our life. So when we have him and the Blessed Mother, they light the way for us, and they show us the way to help break through some of these barriers that are set before us in our times. I really love going to adoration, and I'd encourage people to do the same. We're fortunate here in Erie, Pennsylvania. We have a chapel that has 24-hour adoration, so to find strength in that. And also, I find strength in going to confession. And I think that was a strong message at Fatima as well, to offer, our sins to the Lord and penance, Mm-hmm. So those are some things that we can do as well to honor our Lord.
Right. It's showing our docility and humility before him, that mm-hmm. we're weak people. We needed a Savior, and we're acknowledging him as King of our hearts. And we're cleaning ourselves out because he can use us more, and the grace can operate in us more if we are not weighed down by sin, which is why I firmly believe the First Saturday Devotion calls us to confession monthly. And Our Lady wants us not weighed down by sin, so then we can be more effective as soldiers of Christ.
Yeah. For sure. I think we need to become less of us and more of him. I pray that all the time. Jesus, help me to become less of me and more of you. Help others to see Christ in us and in the world around us. And especially, as parents to their children, they look to you. I remember looking to my own parents and my mom and dad teaching me that I had, to love God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, more than anyone else. And I remember telling my parents, well, I love you as much as I love God. And they're like, no, you have to love God more. And I couldn't understand that as a child, because to them, they were the first signs of God to me,
mm-hmm.
The love of our parents. And so it's teaching all these things and looking to the Holy Family for guidance as well.
Kristen, you shared some testimonies to me about disturbances in the home, and I actually have a testimony about that myself. We had had our first home enthroned, and then when we moved to our second home, we had been in the home for 5 years. And it says you don't have to re-enthrone your new home, but maybe have it blessed again. But we started having some strange disturbances in our home. I don't know if it had anything to do with the previous owner had passed away and maybe was seeking some prayers, but just odd things, like the water would turn on and I had a statue go fly across the room, and nothing that ever scared me. But in my son's room, there was a St. Benedict cross that would be on the ground every morning. And so this went on for about a year, and I finally went to my priest, and he said, sometimes these things go away when you bless your home. So we had him come in and redo the home enthronement. He had thrown the whole house and blessed it, and nothing has ever happened again. It's been 10 years now. But there was a strange time when we were having disturbances. I had no idea why that would have started 5 years after we moved in. But you hear a lot of people, and you know there's many popular shows on TV, and I always say, oh, gosh, forget the ghost chasers. Get a priest in there to bless your home. So,
yeah,
there's a couple of times you've had that happen as well, correct, where people have some disturbances?
We've had phone calls different times in our area where there were some disturbances going on in the home. One of them, there was a child that could not sleep in their bedroom because they kept hearing different things, and actually other guests had experienced some of the disturbances as well. And as soon as that home was enthroned, they all went away, and, you know, that child ended up receiving all his sacraments, became Catholic in the church, because the family was away from the church. So I want to encourage people, if you've been away from the Catholic Church at all, you can still have your home enthroned as well. And this might draw you back home again. So it did this particular child in this particular family, and could sleep peacefully in their bedroom afterwards. So
it's wonderful that they were open to it.
Yes. Yeah. It was brought on by grandparents who were living with as well in that house. So they were all kind of all co-living together. So had been very open to the home enthronement and everything. So, but there's another instance as well.
The promise of peace.
Yes, the promise of peace. And that's what Christ wants for all of us. He wants to be integral part of our families for sure, and give us that peace and that guidance.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It really is. Because there is the peace. The peace comes knowing you have the presence of God in there. And, you know, and there's a lot of diabolical activity going on in this world today. We know that, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that we need to keep in mind. And it's not something to dwell on, but the reality is there is an enemy, and when you can vanquish that enemy in your homes with these actions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and God's, I think that, more all-powerful. He's more powerful than...
That's right.
So he gives us the tools, the spiritual aids to help us. So that's, we should be partaking of them and looking to them as our answers for many of these problems we're having.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I love that, you know, we do have special spiritual weapons, and they're all included in the enthronement as well. We have the rosary. That's part of the ceremony, is you pray the rosary at the beginning. There's holy water that is sprinkled throughout the home. The images of Jesus and Mary that are placed in the home. Also, you can be enrolled in the brown scapular as part of the ceremony. And those are all spiritual weapons against any of the forces of evil that are thrown at us in our everyday lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just want to invite any priest who's listening to this. You know, we need the priests. We need their help with these things. And so we have a program ready for anybody who wants to take it up in their diocese and help their parishioners, and this is something that I think it should be more prominently promoted, even through parish life. And so I feel like these are, as our times get darker, we need to have greater ways to bring that light in. And so these traditions and these devotions may sometimes feel old. They were your grandma's devotions, but they're timeless, and they're given to us by Christ back in the 1600s. So, you know, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, her apparitions of Jesus still ring true today, that he is still offering us his wounded heart, and he wants us to know the flame of love in his heart so that we can grow and be like him.
Yeah. And
really,
I do,
if you don't have these devotions in your home, you're very likely not going to look for them in church. I mean, we have to have the devotion. We have to live with this devotion in our heart. This is what brings us to church, what brings us to the devotions, brings us to bringing the faith to others. So, yeah, it's very important. It is a domestic church, and that's what you're working with, Kristen, and, of course, Barb, well, we're in the apostolate. So, no, I I think that's really, really what people have to understand. It starts at home, and then it'll move on. Especially, I think one thing, like during the COVID time, when, you know, as bad as that was, I think people came to understand that they had to function within their homes too, and they had to carry on with their educations or devotional things. And I'm not promoting just staying home and watching Mass on TV unless you have to, although thank God we're able to do it from the Shrine as our other places. But the reality is I think it did show that you're just not a practicing Catholic when you're in a church. You have to do it 24 hours a day and in your own home. Well, we have to take another break, and when we come back, maybe you can talk a little more about what people can do to become involved a little bit more. So David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and an 88.5 FM WSFI.
Today is June 14th, Flag Day. We all know the story of Betsy Ross. In 1877, the first Flag Day was celebrated, 100 years after the Continental Congress adopted the flag. In 1949, President Harry Truman officially made Flag Day a day of national observance. We salute Old Glory during this Flag Day here on Winds of Change.
I'm David Carollo, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. Just a couple quick things I want to mention. Again, more information on the Blue Army in Chicago, the World Apostolate of Fatima. Call 312-405-6626 and get a whole list of the devotions that are going on and how you might participate. And, of course, for more information on our apostolate, go to bluearmy.com for our resources and books and other items, shopfatima.com. Information on home enthronement, as well as the many other programs, the Night of Love that we've been promoting. And then I'll, Chris, I'll throw it back to you. So if someone just turned their car on, or got their car, turned the radio on, and what is this home enthronement? How do I get involved? Tell them what they can do.
Okay, well, you just shared with them how they can have access to our program is through our website. And I would encourage you to purchase a kit. It doesn't cost very much at all. And then once you have that kit, you can feel free to give me a call. My number is 903-495-2020. It's also on the website. I'm happy to help you through this process, but it's all kind of written out there for you. You just have to invite a priest or a deacon to your home and ask if they'd be willing to conduct the ceremony in your house for you and your family. And everything is right there for you. So the prayers are there, the certificate is there. The only thing that you would need to get is an image of Jesus and Mary, and as well as some brown scapulars for your family.
Kristen, I have a question about the image of Jesus. Many people have a Divine Mercy image in their home. Is that a sufficient image to represent the Sacred Heart, or do you recommend a separate?
That's beautiful that they have that. I actually do recommend the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary images to be placed side by side in your home as requested by our Lord. But the Divine Mercy image shows the heart that is flooding out onto our hearts as well. But I would definitely, for the home enthronement, I would encourage people to get an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as one of the Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary.
And because at Fatima, our Lord had told Sister Lucia after introducing the First Saturday devotion and wanting the devotion to the Immaculate Heart established, he wanted the devotion of the Immaculate Heart placed side by side alongside the devotion to the Sacred Heart.
And
so the Church has done that by instituting the Feast of the Immaculate Heart, which came after the Feast of the Sacred Heart. It used to be held on August 22nd, and it was moved to the day after the Feast of the Sacred Heart, which is always held on the Friday after Corpus Christi. And so the Church has placed the two devotions side by side, and so doing this in our home is what this program entails.
Yeah.
And we will be celebrating the Triduum of Masses to that effect this Friday, June 16th, from 9 p.m. Mass at the Holy House Chapel at the Shrine in Washington, New Jersey, and then ending in Saturday morning at 6 a.m. with the Mass in the Shrine. So we will be there for the Feast of the Sacred Heart, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart, and then the last Sunday, the Sunday Mass on June 18th, will be the closing Mass of the Triduum. And go online. You can sign up for your intentions for this.
Yes, and our home enthronement materials, I just want to say, it has a whole background on the two devotions and the prayers and the practices. There's some practices which help foster the devotion to the two hearts besides enthronement, so the ways that we can live out this devotion.
Yes, definitely want to keep
that.
It going after you have your home enthroned. But I can tell you, every priest that has done an enthronement, they get so excited and they say, "Kristen, I would love to do more. Let me know if you need help." So, I personally believe that priests and anyone that's involved in that enthronement receive many graces as well as the family that is getting their home enthroned. So, I want to encourage everybody to do this, and if anyone has any questions at all, I'm more than happy to help you answer those questions.
Yeah. And again, Kristen, how do they get a hold of you?
You can either email me, and my email's on the website, but it's strav2+3@yahoo.com, or my phone number is 903-495-2020, and I'm more than happy to have a conversation. You can text or email me anytime.
And you can get at bluearmy.com/homeenthronement.
Exactly.
That's the page where she's listed, as well as our materials.
Yeah, easier to remember that, I think. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But that's beautiful.
No, I'm very grateful to be on here today. Thank you again for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for being here. I mean, it's just very special. As Barb and I were speaking, this is a tremendous part of our outreach. Of course, Barb, you're dealing with divisions all over the country and with the prayer cells and all, which is all very beautiful. But we want people to start in their homes. It's got to be in their homes if they're going to take the faith out into the streets.
Yes, and we have many programs to help families. We have a beautiful Fatima consecration that we've 33 videos that are on our programs page.
Yes.
And we do a Fatima consecration together that's based off of the book of Sister Lucia, the calls from the message of Fatima. And it's a young couple that shares the videos, and their kids are often in the video with them. And so, you know, there's many ways in which the family can learn more about Fatima, but also there's some ways to foster this devotion. And we often tell people, start with a morning offering and renewing your consecration to the hearts of Jesus and Mary every day, giving your day to them and your family. You can consecrate your family as well. And then praying the Rosary, Our Lady asked for that. That was a way that we obtained peace in our family, and it helps draw us into the life of Jesus and Mary. We always ask people to wear a brown scapular because that's a sign of your consecration to the Immaculate Heart. And then, of course, we have the practice of the First Fridays and First Saturdays. And First Fridays, I want to reiterate what Jesus had asked for, on 9 consecutive First Fridays to receive Holy Communion in a state of grace. So many of our all-night vigils, we have confession and Mass on First Fridays. And so you can get to confession. It's kind of your monthly ding-ding time for confession again.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's requested for the First Saturday. So if you go on First Friday, you're free and clear on First Saturday. Those two devotions are right next to each other, and it's always a reminder that that's always my mental notice that, oh, yeah, that was the last time I went to confession. It's time to go again. And there's promises associated with this. Of course, the promises for both the First Saturday and First Friday devotion are all the graces necessary at our time of death, that we will not die without the sacraments, that Jesus and Mary will be with us. And I'm telling you, when I'm reaching that point, I don't want to be alone. I want to be, no. I want the, all the heavenly help there with me.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And I want to encourage you, if you've been away from confession, to go. It's such a beautiful sacrament, so freeing, and that in itself brings so much peace to your own heart, which you then bring back to your home. So don't be afraid. Christ is there waiting for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a conversation last week with a family member who had been away from confession for a long time. And I mentioned, well, I go, twice a month, basically, And he said, well, that's a good habit. I said, oh, it's an excellent habit because it's just that, a habit. And when you get in the habit of going, it's like the same as getting the habit of not going.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so very, very important that because it's all based on that, to have our sins forgiven, and then we move on to the devotions. And make sure here, we're at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey. We have confessions every day. We start with rosary at 11:30 and confessions before the noon mass. And people line up because a lot of parishes, because there's a single pair, maybe a single priest, and it's a little different situation. They will, they find it inconvenient to get to confession. So they know they can come here 7 days a week at 11:30.
That's awesome.
It's really beautiful. So that's what we, it's important. I mean, it truly is. It is the cleansing you need to go on to the next devotions.
Yeah. Well, and, private detectives and people that are, looking into crimes, when they have a criminal in the interrogation room, oftentimes when they confess, there's a huge weight. They're almost relieved, even though they know it might mean prison time for them, because they've been carrying around the weight of the crime. So there's a sense of relief that comes in them, and they just feel better. And so I think that's what confession does for all of us. We need to be relieved and feel forgiven. We need to know that we're forgiven, and then we also need to forgive ourselves. So that's what confession does. It just keeps the weight of the sin off of us.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It does. It frees you. I mean, it truly does free you. And I think that's the... I feel bad for, our separated brethren, Protestants and that. They just said, well, I'm not confessing my sins. I don't have to confess to a priest. No, you do, because he's in the persona Christi. He's in the person of Christ when you do it. And I think that's what they don't seem to understand, that when a priest hears your confession, it's Christ forgiving your sins. It's not the man. He's just standing there doing the work for God. And that and devotion to Our Lady are the two stumbling blocks, the biggest stumbling blocks for many Protestants. And it's a shame, because I think both of those are so rewarding. Having your sins forgiven, having devotion to Our Lady and trusting in, her maternal care, you're on the road, on the right road at that point.
Yeah. Well, and part of our human nature, we need to hear that our sins are forgiven. We need to hear it audibly. We need to know that and then the grace comes in and you do experience the peace afterwards. So
you're like a new baby born again. It's all... You're cleansed from all of those sins, and the devil cannot hold any of those against you. So,
that's right. They're gone. They're absolutely gone.
Gone. Yeah. So I would encourage everybody. It's such a beautiful sacrament.
Well, this is the end of the show. I thank you both for being on today. For more information on Home Enthronement and on the apostolate in general, the Blue Army, come to BlueArmy.com. That's BlueArmy.com. Thank you, and God bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.